What's the first thing you do in 2022 when you need something done, but you're not sure where to get it? You Google it, right? You need a plumber? You Google it. You need a mortgage? You Google it. You need a car detail or an oil change? You Google it. If your business doesn't show up in the top three or even on the first page in general when I Google something, chances are you're not getting my business. Actually, you're definitely not getting my business. It's that simple. Maybe you do show up, but you only have one review that was left by a customer in 2015. Well, you're not getting my business either. Websites by Students is a company that's here to help solve modern website issues for small and medium-sized businesses. The team at Websites by Students builds custom WordPress websites for small and medium-sized service businesses. Every website is 100% custom built, which means you tell them what you want on the site and they build it exactly to your needs. Every website comes equipped with Google Suite functionality, meaning the Google Map, Google integration is all built in right from the start. Their prices are incredibly affordable and their team is super professional to work with. They can build you a brand new website in under 3 weeks, and that comes with unlimited revisions. So they'll send you the first draft. If you don't like it, tell them to fix it as long as you want until the site looks exactly the way that you want it. They won't publish anything until it's perfect and you want it built the way that you want it. The best part about it is that every website package comes with 1 year worth of free website management. So 6 months after you get this site built, if you want to update something, whether it's copywriting or you want a restaurant and you want to add to your menu, just tell the team at Websites by Students to do it. They'll turn that around in under 48 hours and get that website updated for you to your exact specifications. It gets even better. Websites by Students is a purpose-driven organization. A portion of every website they build goes to a scholarship fund to help fight student debt for as many college students as they can. If you visit websitesbystudents.com today, fill out the contact form and mention the Get It Done podcast. You'll save 20% on your next website project. That could be as much as $500 worth of savings. And that $500 is more than likely going into that scholarship fund to help fight student debt. Visit websitesbystudents.com today to get your new website built or get your existing website updated so that it shows up on the first page of Google, if not the top three. Their goal is to make you number one. Call them today, visit their website, mention our podcast, save 20%. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Get It Done podcast. I'm Joe Zanke, your host, co-founder, COO of On Demand Storage, who sponsors our show. Today, I'm with my guest, Scott Kucharik of Ocho Candy. Scott, what's going on, man?
Hey, great. Thanks, Joe, for having me. Excited to talk to you today about Ocho Candy.
I'm excited to have you on. You know, I haven't had anybody that owns a candy company on the show yet. So, you know, with a different perspective, different guest. So I'm excited to hear about your journey. You know, you and I were just talking a little bit off camera about what the last couple of years have been like in business, and it's been kind of crazy. But let's start, you know, way before that. So I'd love to learn how you got into the candy world, how you got into being an entrepreneur, and maybe tell us a little bit about what life was like before you started this company.
Yeah, sure. Great. I'll try to keep it brief, but essentially, I got into this company because a friend of mine, his name is Dennis Ring, and he's the, at that time, he had created the 365 line at Whole Foods. You know, it became a billion-dollar brand. So he was one of the foremost experts on organic and natural trends in the country and the world. And his belief was that everyone was going to start switching to organic products, or a large segment of the consumer population, but those products had to be very familiar to what their analogs, their non-organic analogs. If you can make it similar, taste better, and have it organic, and not price it too much higher, people switch. So he watched that trend in dairy, all sorts of different categories, and then he was always wondering why no one made an organic Snickers, right? That was his dream, because he liked Snickers. And so he started monkeying around himself, making some, and our kids went to school together, and one day on the playground, he just came up to me and said, "Hey, I've been making these prototypes, would you like to try one?" And it was in a silver foil wrapper, looked a little janky, but he's a super foodie, so I was like, "Oh my," because my first thought was organic candy. That sounds horrible. This is like 2005 timeframe, by the way.
Yep.
So I was like, "Oh my god, that's not appetizing." But I knew it was foodie, so I said, "I'll try it." I opened it up. It was amazing. It was delicious. I said, "Oh, you might be onto something here, Dennis." And that started a 5-year journey. I was doing tech and real estate at that time, so he was trying to get me to leave tech and real estate, and he says, look, I can't be a CEO. I don't know how to raise money. I don't know how to scale a company, but I know products and I know buyers, and we make a good match. So 5 years later, I had just wrapped up building a statewide multiple listing service with the California Association of Realtors. It's two of the longest years of my life. I was ready to leave tech and real estate. Essentially, I told my wife, I have to show another more senior person how to use their browser on a 7-year-old laptop. I'm going to kill myself, because that was a lot of what I was doing in my glorious, you know, tech leadership and real estate job. So I thought this would be a fun thing. I figured it'd go a year. Like, we'd make some prototypes. If it started selling, great. If it didn't, you know, it's always, as an entrepreneur, it's always great to just do stuff and just go, okay, well, I still learn from it. You know, and I learned a whole category that I didn't know anything about. But that didn't happen. We actually started selling a lot of candy.
Wow. That's awesome. So that's an incredible story. I mean, in doing tech and real estate, you know, in the part of the country that you're in, California, I mean, that had to have been, you know, there's a lot going out in tech and real estate out in that area. So, you know, to see this opportunity and take the leap out of what was probably a pretty good job at the time is a big move, you know, as an entrepreneur, and that taking that leap. And so you guys jump in. Now you guys are partners together. How did you get this thing off the ground? I mean, he had the prototypes, but where did you, you know, came up with a specific, did you come up with a few different types of products you wanted to sell? Or did you launch a bunch of lines right away?
Yeah, so essentially, Dennis had an idea of what he wanted. He wanted like a Snickers analog, something kind of like a Reese's, but in a bar, which was like a peanut butter. And then he thought a coconut might be interesting with dark chocolate. And he wanted some innovation, which turned out to be like a Three Musketeers, nougat-y stuff, but with coffee in the middle. We figured out a way to actually put real coffee pieces in there that weren't gritty, but gave you a huge coffee hit. And then we had another partner at that time. She had worked at Mars and Seas, and she had a little tiny facility, I'll call it. It was her uncle's old drug warehouse or drug like store in Folsom, which is 2 hours away, where she had some very basic candy manufacturing equipment. So once we got started and the prototypes worked out, I drove every day 2+ hours each way and learned how to make candy bars from scratch with her.
Wow.
And then it ended up some of the equipment she had didn't work, so we ended up just doing hand making them. And so I made like the first 10,000 bars. So it took about 6 months to get all the parts of the business together. Like, I learned how to get a UPC code, how to do nutrition facts, you know, all the stuff you take for granted when you go buy stuff and you're thinking, wait, how do I build a label? What do I have to build? What's required by law? It's food. So that was fun for me. I mean, that's the part that's exciting. I'm very hands-on. And so, you know, we started making it. Once I told my partner, I said, I think we're getting close to having something you could sell. Then he called up the NorCal Whole Foods buyers, who he'd met with before.
Yep.
And we just did a little pitch meeting with them. And that meeting was crazy because they're remodeling their headquarters. And so we were actually sitting on the floor in that office. And so I brought caddies. Those are like small sleeves of like, you know, 18 bars each of our flavors, all wrapped. And to say that our bars were awesome out of the gate is a complete lie. They were, since they're handmade, I didn't exactly know what I was doing compared to now. I mean, some of the bars were amazing. Some were horrible. The weights were off by like 20% to 30%. It was all
there's no consistency.
No, it was horrible. So I told my partner, like, man, let's just hope, especially with the caramel and peanut bar, because we're hand filling those. The layers of the caramel and peanuts and the nougat would not look like a Snickers, where it's totally perfect. Depending on where you cut it, you might get half caramel and peanuts and half nougat, or no caramel and peanuts. So we just sat down and, you know, we had our bars. We had the traditional bars and what they're selling at Whole Foods. And we're like, this is what America thinks candy is. Reese's, Snickers, Mounds. This is what you're selling, which is terrible. You've obviously never eaten it because it's horrible. I mean, we just said that to them. And this is what we think candy should be. And so we're like, okay. So we're like, let's do the Snickers bar first. I was like, please, please. And I cut it in half. It looked perfect. Like, they compared it to a Snickers bar. I was like, oh my God, thank you. And then once you do the peanut butter bar, I'm like, cut it open, I realized that one had gotten a little dry because it got heat or something. So quickly, in a moment of brilliance that I don't know where it came from, the inspiration, the gods of entrepreneurship with me, I just dropped it on the ground. I'm like, oh, sorry, I dropped that one. And then I got another one. I'm like, you can't drop it twice. So I you know, it's like Russian roulette. One of these has got to work. So I cut the second one, looked perfect, tasted great. And they took it. And then we were like, okay, you're going to be in all, like, 36, at that time, 36 Whole Foods in Northern California in 2 months. I was like, oh, my God, how are we going to make all this candy bars since I was hand-making them?
That's insane.
So anyways, then I had to learn about distributors, networks, delivering. I mean, it was so funny because we were going to do demos, in-store demos, right? I mean, everyone's forgotten about that in COVID, but, you know, the good old days, people with new products would slice them up and let you taste them. So they had teams at Whole Foods at that time who could do it. So they had a new platform. We were supposed to get everything set. We set up to do all these demos to get the product, you know, tasted so people could get it and maybe buy it. And then one day I'm sitting in our office at that time. It was in Lafayette when I wasn't in Sacramento, in Folsom. And a demo person from San Mateo, her name's Sandra, I'll never forget her. She called me up and she goes, hey, I have the demo tomorrow and I need my demo kit. I was like, what do you mean you have a demo tomorrow? Because I was looking at the platform. She's like, oh, the platform isn't working, but just so you know, all 40 stores are doing demos in the next 2 or 3 days, and they all need a demo kit. I was like, I don't even know what a freaking demo kit is. That's what I was thinking. So I said, oh, I'm so glad you called me. There must be, I didn't know it was ready, so we'll have to get that demo kit out to you. But since you're on the line and you've been so nice, just tell me what you really want in your demo kit, because I could custom build yours now.
Can you tell me what a demo kit is?
Oh, yeah, but I said it that way. I can custom build it. She goes, oh, what I need is like a little 8x11 sheet with a picture of your products. And, you know, she told me exactly what she needed. And I literally went out that afternoon. Well, first thing I did is I immediately called other stores and tried to cancel every single demo because I didn't have the product to even send out the demo kits. And I got all but 3 stores. Hers, one in Nevada, and one up in Sonoma. Of course, they were all so far away. I was like, this is insane. Are you still there? And, okay. You froze for a second. Anyways. And so I went to like a copying store, made like on the computer on PowerPoint, made the thing, packed it up, went and got some boxes from like a cardboard UPS store. And I went and hand delivered them so I could go meet the people. And then I delayed everything off and then I did it. Anyways, it was insane. It was insane. But
it's not insane. I mean, you guys, that's rapid, like, you know, expansion growth, you know, just in the, I mean, but it sounds like you guys are just thinking on your feet the whole time, which, you know, half the time that is what entrepreneurs are just doing.
Yeah.
Making decisions, thinking on your feet, you got to keep moving forward.
Yeah, and doing everything. Yeah, be flexible. You got to just be, you know, creative, resourceful. So anyways, started going well, and then people started buying the bars. You know, my litmus test was, would people I never knew or didn't know me, would they actually buy the bars? And pretty soon, they were buying a lot of bars, especially a lot of stores. So we just started expanding. Once we had a Whole Foods in the area, then we went around to all the smaller natural organic stores. A lot of times we just went with candy bars in hand and asked to meet with the general manager, the store manager, or the owner. And like, we had a high hit rate, we call it. A lot of times people are like, oh, yeah, I'll take them. You know, so we just got built up that way. And then we got distribution with a local distributor, so we didn't have to go deliver them. Though some accounts, I still deliver to a couple local accounts near my house today, just because it's good to see that still and get in the stores, because we have hundreds, if not thousands, of small stores around the country. And I want to really see how it's going for them, not just with our products, but with all products. We're really big about getting out of the stores and just knowing what products are out there and how our products are looking, how they're tasting, how, you know, we know how they taste after we make them, but how do they actually taste when the customer gets them? Because going through the supply chain, distributors, getting the stores, sometimes they're not treated very well, you know, and they're like, this is not the quality we want customers to have. So, and then, you know, once that happened, then we moved down to Southern California because that region saw our sales up here, and then we went to Seattle, jumped over to Boston. We had a tiny online store there and some sales at the airport, and we were seeing a lot of customers coming from the East Coast, so then just kept expanding just like that.
Good for you, man. Good for you. So you guys went the wholesale route right from the jump, and now on your website, I mean, could someone like me go on there and buy candy if I wanted to? Is that something that happened a little bit later down the line that you expanded into?
We built, I mean, at the first time I used Joomla to build the first website. I learned Joomla. It's kind of complicated. friend of mine knew it, and he's like, you can learn it quickly. I wanted to ring his head. But anyways, I was too cheap and didn't have the money to actually pay somebody to design a website. So we built a little Joomla Ocho Candy template site at the beginning, and we're selling online. Not a ton. You know, we weren't like boosting the ads or something. We barely right. had candy. Since we're hand making it, it was more of a convenience for people to see it. And no one knew about us, really, so it was always weird at the beginning, getting all these orders from all over the country. Like, how the heck did somebody find out about us? But so we've always had online sales. I'd say with many other brands, candy is tricky because Amazon has taught everyone, hey, why should you have to pay for shipping? And we're like, hey, if you don't want a melted sack of goo, we have to actually put in insulated containers with ice packs, and you have to get it within 2 days. And then when you get it, especially if you're in the South or the Southwest, you've got to get that off your porch because there's no amount of packaging jewelry time that's going to resist 8 hours sitting on your porch in the sun. It's going to be a meltdown. So, you know, we had to get people over that hurdle, charging them for shipping. But in 2020, as with many other brands, in March, you know, just like everyone else, we got destroyed. I mean, we went to like 6x. We just didn't have the people or the materials ready. We had the candy. We could make it, but it took like 2 weeks of everyone from every department just coming in, packing, you know, like, oh my God, we got to revamp our systems. This is insane. So that was a blessing because then we realized a lot of problems we have with our systems. And for us going forward, like going into the future, now we're at the position where like, okay, we went through different iterations with Amazon. We were in a good place with them. We're about to launch a new version of our website in about 2 or 3 weeks. It's much more streamlined, just focused on shopping. And we're going to put a budget behind sales the next few years because we think we can get over $1 million in online sales and go from there without too much effort, which is unusual in this category. But we know it's possible because we can already see what's going on. And so it's kind of reversed. Like a lot of stores, consumer goods sell a lot online and then maybe get into retail, you know?
Yeah.
I keep telling our people, you know, at our peak, we had, you know, every month, maybe a couple hundred thousand people or more, it's hard to say, buying our products. They're like out there. So we already have a huge base of customers. We're selling like 20, 30 million pieces of candy. If we go online, they're going to find us and they're going to be able to. So I think the issue will be now for us is how do we leverage that retail presence, which is so dominated in candy, because candy you can find everywhere and you don't really, something might add on to your cart, but you're not like, oh man, I'm going online today to buy me some candy, unless it's Halloween or something, right? But leverage that presence there and say, oh, don't see what you like, you know. It's touchy because the retailers don't like seeing me messaging like that.
right. It is touchy. I could see that. So you brought up some of the challenges you guys faced during, you know, throughout the journey, but also, you know, during something like COVID. What's been the most rewarding part of this so far?
I would say the rewarding part is the just joy and happiness that the products have brought to consumers. I mean, some people are really emotional about it. I'll tell you one little story that still gets me every time. We found out that a great place to promote our products was at races. You know, wherever Clif Bar was, we needed to go. Because what we found out is when people run a 10K, 20K, a half marathon, a marathon, they'll eat a Clif Bar, but damn, they much rather have an organic candy bar. So like, I've earned it, baby. Scoop it in. They're not going to eat a normal candy bar because that doesn't give them the halo, you know, but they'll eat an organic candy bar. Of course, all the sugar content, everything's the same, so it's, you know, it's kind of funny. But so one time I was out of San Francisco at the half marathon. I had ran actually the 5K and then came over. And a woman came up to me. She goes, oh, can I talk to you? And we were just like bombarded. They're just handing out samples. And she goes, I just want you to know that, like, my husband had cancer, has been going through it, XYZ, has very limited diet capability, and the only thing that keeps him going every day is this candy bar. I mean, I almost get a little weepy now thinking about it. She was so genuine about it.
Jeez.
I was like, I was just floored. I'm like, what? But we've heard similar stories like that. People emailed us, hey, am I crazy because I drove 3 hours to get this product of yours from this local store? I just love it, XYZ. So when you hear stuff like that, you know, and also I had kids, so I just you know, I know what traditional candy is. I know its values and strengths. I don't want to bad talk it, but what people don't realize is because there's only been a couple companies, when you have an oligopoly, you just don't get innovation, and you don't get new products, and you don't get quality that you could. And yep. We're very keenly aware, since we do it, that everyone can be enjoying much better quality, much better taste than candy bars for almost the same price, and that they just, it's like the Matrix coming out of it. Like, once you realize there is an alternative, you don't want to go back. So,
no.
So exactly. That's kind of our focus, is that's what drives us is. And, you know, we're doing stuff with fair trade, organic farming, sustainable regeneration. So we're, yep. You know, we're moving as fast as we can to recyclable packaging. I mean, you know, this is where the modern business world needs to be. We only have one planet. We have people who need to earn a living wage, support their families, and consumers will buy off on that if the product's authentic and it meets their standards. And Big Candy couldn't be doing this, but they don't want to because there's too many profits in the way they're going right now. So, you know, that's our opportunity.
Definitely. Definitely. That story is incredible. You know, that must have brought, like, that's just, like, chilling almost that, you know, that someone, I mean, something that you created at one point in time with your own hands, you know, is touching someone's life that deeply. You know, that must have been awesome.
And
you can see it on an everyday basis. You know, people writing reviews and be, you know, frequently repurchasing the stuff. I mean, you guys do have an incredible opportunity on your hand. You're kind of riding a good wave right now of just the organic and healthy alternative. It's just a great space to be in. And it's,
COVID's been really interesting besides many of the challenges we've all been facing is since we kind of were short on candy because of supply chain issues and stuff, the number of emails we've been getting from people, I mean, it's like this silent group you never knew out there. And these are just people willing to write you, so you know there's many behind them. And it comes in daily. It's like a wave. When you see sales says, you're not even seeing them all. He goes, I literally have to spend an hour or two a day getting back to people. So that's when I said, wow, that, okay, we have done something over 10 years. Like, maybe our sales weren't like 100 million amazing, but damn, we got a solid core of people. Because our belief is just make the best candy in the world. That's our deal. It's organic, but if it doesn't taste amazing and isn't made with the best quality ingredients, I don't even want to be part of it. And everybody right. in our company feels that way. It's like,
yep.
No matter
yep.
what it is, when someone eats Ocho candy, they have to be blown away. They have to say, holy crap, I didn't know candy could be this good. And we know it's all good inside. Well, you know, our motto is what's inside counts. That's what we say internally. It's
yeah, about I like that.
What's inside our products, but also a more global, like what you do as a person is more important than what you say. And what you do as a company. So everyone here believes in that, and that's why they come here and work here, because they know they're making a difference.
That's incredible. You know, you guys seem like you built a really good culture, which is super important, and just the care and the effort that goes into the product. I mean, that is all that matters at the end of the day. And I think one thing that I've learned, at least, you know, as I get more versed in e-commerce is everything starts and finishes with the product. So if you put your heart and soul into building a good product that people actually want, then things like money will come. You know what I mean? Like things like the big sales numbers will come because people are going to want to consume your brand. They're going to want to be a part of what you guys preach. They're going to want to be a part of, you know, the community that's involved in it. They're going to want to actually use, or in your case, ingest your product. And so you guys are spot on with it. I mean, it, like you said, it doesn't, nothing else really matters. You know, the what's inside counts, what you're building and producing on a daily basis is the name of the game in that industry. And if you guys can produce the best product, like, you know, you've mentioned a couple of times, there's a lot of opportunity above you to keep scaling up and being maybe one of the biggest players in the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need, one of the things that we like to talk about is seasonal candy, which is a whole different factor. Like, people who buy seasonal are not necessarily people who buy everyday candy. That's really an interesting dichotomy there. But a few years ago, one of our salespeople was like, hey, you know, Reese's Easter eggs, right? In that time, they're blobs. They've since reformed them and make them look more like an egg. So kudos to Reese's. You know, they do like $60 to $80 million just on those eggs. I'm like, holy crap. So we launched, we were the first company to kind of do a seasonal lineup, and we actually have an egg mold that looks like an egg and has little just six different designs on there for the people who are really paying attention. I was like, if we only got, you know, 1% of that, you know, that would still be a good seasonal run, and 10% would be insane. So, and that's just one little brand, one season. So the size, you don't have to be huge in this marketplace to be a pretty powerful, you know, startup. You know, we're not like, oh, right, we can get to $1 billion in sales. That's like crazy talk. But I mean, maybe my grandchildren or something, but but you know, you could get to 100 million in a reasonable amount of time, maybe another decade or something, and that would make a big impact. And who knows from there. And another friend of mine's built a lot of companies like, yeah, getting that first 100 million is hard. And then they just start falling like dominoes. It's like, okay, yeah, well, I'm still way away from that first goal.
the first 100 million, yeah, that's definitely hard. Well, look, man, I appreciate you coming in on here and telling your story. You know, I think what you guys are doing is awesome. I think that, you know, the amount of stress that you guys had to go through during something like COVID, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of businesses felt themselves in the same spot. But for someone like you guys, you know, to endure that and then come out on the other side with what seems like really big plans going into 2022 is fantastic and super encouraging. And I just love the story. So, I mean, thanks for coming on here and sharing. It's been great.
Hey, no problem. I really appreciate you taking time to even hear it. So we're so appreciative of every single person who's bought our products. I'm always amazed still. Every once in a while, just one last thing. I love when I'm in the store restocking and I see somebody buy our candy. I can't stop myself. I'm like, oh my God, hi. Just to talk to them. I usually send them a big package of candy because it's supposed to be fun too, you know, and this is a fun category. So anyway, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. And I hope you have a good finish to 2021.
Yeah, you as well. Where can people quickly find you if they want to purchase your product?
The best place to go is ochocandy.com. Like, we have all the flavors. Well, we've been out of stock, but they're coming back up soon. So in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be fully up and going. And we have Christmas trees that are wonderful and stuff like that. So you go there, you're guaranteed to get it from ours. And it's the freshest stuff when we ship it from our Oakland headquarters.
Awesome. Well, thanks, man. This has been awesome. You got a future customer in me right away. So I'm looking forward to testing the product and looking forward to staying in touch. Absolutely.
Anytime you need anything, just give me a holler.
Cool, man. Thanks so much. Bye, Scott.
Bye.